Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Again, this is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection where we have discussions about hip hop, rap, soul, and R&B music and its artists from the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. Simply put, folks, this is the best music podcast that you've never heard. Until right now, I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Shout out to those of you who are watching on YouTube. All right. So check this out. The other day I was on the internet. I was on Instagram and I came across this account on Instagram called 92 Bricks. It's a hip hop account that, you know, talks about a lot of different things about hip hop, both past and present. And the thing that was interesting about this particular post that I saw was that it was the headline and it said Biggie gives his thoughts on other rappers in 1995. And I found that to be peculiar because what's interesting is without even having looked at it, I didn't really know what Biggie thought about other rappers back in 1995. Now, if you were around in 1995, as I was, because I was clearly outside, more specifically, I was on the campus of South Carolina State University trying to get my degree in marketing. And I was a huge fan of Biggie. And as many of you know, Biggie passed away, was tragically murdered in 1997. But in 1995, Biggie was basically entering the prime of his albeit brief career, and Biggie was on top of the game. He was one of the most recognized and most popular and one of the best rappers at the time in the game. And so the meme, or the post I should say, goes on to ask Biggie about his thoughts on particular rappers and rap groups in 1995 and what he had thought about them. And he gives his honest opinion. Now, I will be honest. I don't know that the post from 92 Bricks on their Instagram account, I don't necessarily know. There's no way for me to confirm that this is true. However, after reading it and reading the comments and then kind of contextualizing where Biggie was at that particular time, his thoughts and opinions on these particular rappers, I didn't see enough or read enough to believe that it wasn't true. So let's just go under the assumption that everything that I'm about to tell you is true. So again, it's 1995. Biggie sits down and interviews with someone and they ask him about his thoughts on these particular rappers and rap groups. And I'm going to read to you his quotes in its entirety and then give you my thoughts. And these are in no particular order. First up, Wu-Tang. They asked Biggie what he thought about Wu-Tang. He said, quote, "Wu-Tang is hot. I like their shit. I love their shit. I like their shit because they have real, because they have a real and they have a real, I don't give a fuck attitude. We come into this game to blow the fuck up. We don't give a fuck about what happens to all of us. We're going to do our thing and we're just going to do it. And they just did it. You can hear punches. You can hear so much shit in that album. You know damn well these guys aren't giving a fuck. The beginning of Cream, when that shit start, voila. Oh my God, this is some shit. So this is some Rush shit, but I dig it." Close quote. So Biggie was a fan of Wu-Tang. As many of you know, Biggie's first album featured Method Man on the song called The What. Biggie would later get into a quote unquote beef with Raekwon and Ghostface. But Biggie gave a thumbs up on, Wu-Tang, which is surprising because I can't say I thought that Biggie dissed those guys or didn't like them, but at that particular time. Wu-Tang had already had their first album, Enter the 36 Chambers. Wu-Tang was out on the streets and it was a smash. So they asked him about Snoop. And in some of these quotes, he's giving a quote unquote ranking as far as like from 1 to 10. And I didn't read up. Let me go back and double check. He did not give Wu-Tang a number rating. For Snoop, he said, quote, "I like Snoop. I give him like an 8 out of 10. I like his shit. I'm not into fly pimp, straight player shit. I don't like no nigga that I have to decipher some shit that I don't decipher, then give him a 10 like Nas. I give J. Rue a 10, but I give Snoop an 8, close quote. So he threw in Nas and Snoop at the same time. So he said he'd give Nas a 10. He give J. Rue a 10, but he gave Snoop an 8. And this was, I would assume that this is right before the quote unquote East Coast, West Coast beef started bubbling. Even throughout the East Coast, West Coast beef, when Tupac and Biggie were here, I don't know that Biggie ever had any smoke for Snoop or vice versa. It, from what I've heard in years past, Snoop had a very, he had a reverence for Biggie. He liked Biggie and he liked his music. And I don't know that the beef, the quote unquote beef, had anything to do with Snoop or if he have ever had any animosity toward Biggie. I think there was mutual respect there. And Biggie gave Snoop an 8 out of 10. Next up, Tupac. He said, quote, "Tupac gets busy. People can't take nothing from him. On the lyrics, he gets busy. Straight up, that nigga got some hard shit for real. It's like some of the things he said about it when he started working on his new album he's got out now. He's out on bail, retitled Me Against the World. He had so many raw East Coast producers and shit. The shit sounding tight because everybody always says Pac has lyrics, but his beats is whack. He was up in New York when he was working on Above the Rim shit and working on his album at the same time. I put him on to LG. He has Action, Special Ed's DJ. He had some hard shit, but he went back to the West Coast and just started getting back into that other shit, close quote. Doesn't give Pac a ranking, but Pac and Biggie had at least at this time, from what we were always told, a friendship. And you can tell based on what Biggie said about Pac, he respected his music and was a fan. He literally sounds like a fan of Tupac's music. It's unfortunate that things would turn the way that they did, but you can tell based on the conversation that he has here that he has a lot of respect and love for Pac and his music as well. Even though he didn't give Pac a rating, I think he would have rated Pac fairly high. Cypress Hill, next up. He said, quote, "I used to like them at first. Shit, that shit, how I could just kill a man joint. I was liking that. But now that new age smoke out shit, fuck it." So it sounds like he's not a fan of one, the only Cypress Hill. Which is interesting because I think at that particular time, Cypress Hill was an acquired taste. Like, I knew a lot of people, myself included, that dug Cypress Hill. I don't really know too many people that didn't like Cypress Hill. So for Biggie to come off as not really liking Cypress Hill was, you know, kind of weird. But, you know, we're all entitled to our opinions, right? Next up, Ice Cube. They asked him about Ice Cube and he said, quote, "The new one or the old one? It's not the same shit. Like, niggas changing too much for me and I can't keep the love. I respect the nigga because I know back in the day he used to do his thing, so I don't diss him. But this new shit right now is, meh," close quote. I think for some Ice Cube fans, they can identify because there was a point in time where Ice Cube had a run, a 3 or 4 album run where nobody was touching Ice Cube. I mean, like, he literally was the best in the game. And then, you know, his music changed and he changed a little bit and some of the production changed. But he still was dope to me. Even when he got into West Side Connection, I mean, like, Ice Cube was still doing his thing. So I don't think that, you know, Ice Cube was had fallen off or anything like that. I'm not sure why Biggie wasn't feeling the new Ice Cube, but, you know, it kind of is what it is, I guess. But that was Biggie's take on Ice Cube. Biggie's take on Dr. Dre. His quote, beats, ? Incredible. Close quote. So Biggie was a fan. I mean, who couldn't love the production from Dr. Dre? Next up, KRS-One. Biggie said, quote, nah, I used to like KRS, but not no more because he just thinks he's dope. He let his ego take over his shit, and that's what brings him down. When he was like, blow it to yourself, when he was like, that was when he was a 10. But now he's on some I am hip hop. Eat a dick, nigga. Eat a motherfucking dick, nigga. Close quote. So Biggie definitely wasn't feeling KRS-One. While I can't agree with everything he said, there was a point in time where I think KRS-One might have been feeling himself. So I can understand that. But I mean, KRS-One was always dope. In my opinion, I think KRS-One is one of the best top five lyricists of all time. I don't care where you put him, but he's in the top five. Personally, for me, I think he's at about 3 lyricists, not great MCs, whatever like that. But one, as far as lyricists, that's him. Next up, Outkast. Biggie said, quote, I like them too. 6 or 7. So he's given Outkast a 6 or a 7. No hate there. Next up, Eazy-E. Biggie said, quote, I like Eazy-E. Eazy-E's a real ass nigga. He's sharp as a tack on top of rhyming. Even he even knows. He took a group from around the hood and just put them on to 2 and then that to 2 million. Bing. He know how to do that shit. Same thing with Luke and all the rest of them niggas. I just think they take another turn. I can let you hear some Eazy-E shit on some old NWA shit and niggas would think Eazy-E was nice. You know what I'm saying? So he know. He stood straight up. Close quote. No, I'm sorry. He's hood straight up. If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast. Hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before. From nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between, the 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul podcast and enjoy the vibes. Close quote. So while he didn't give Eazy-E a ranking, he's very much a fan of Eazy-E. And at the time, Eazy-E was still alive. So, and what he said about Eazy is true. He did take some cash from the hood and he was in the streets. And they literally and figuratively put Compton on the map. So much love to the late, great Eric Eazy-E Wright. Next up, Coolio. Biggie said, quote, I like that new joint. Mama, I'm in love with a gangster. I like that joint. I just like them hard niggas. Them niggas that just be leveled out. Close quote. Okay, so Biggie's in favor of Coolio. Personally, I wasn't much of a Coolio fan. But that's just me. Next up, Redman. He said, quote, the new Redman, 7. I can't diss him because he got skills. He get busy on the lyrics, but I can't feel his new shit. His new cosmic crazy shit. I'm used to the clean cut, blowout, fly nigga. When I met the nigga, he was a fly nigga. You know what I'm saying? He be on some different shit. I really don't like it when a rapper come out and then they blow all the way up and then they're come out on some changed up shit. To me, that's like getting some good coke from Poppy, then getting some money and then being like, fuck it, I'm gonna get some more four and a halves, some brown shit, and then bag it up. Why would you change that in your plan? That's what he did to me. So Biggie referenced drugs when describing Reggie Noble, aka Redman. Redman is dope, man. I think Redman has been dope for a long, long time. I don't know that. I know that they ran in some of the same circles. So I don't think that there was any beef there. But I mean, he was just giving his honest opinion about, you know, what he thought about Redman. Next up, Warren G. He said, quote, that's my man, nigga. He came to Brooklyn, came to check on me. He just came to the hood. Shit, pulled up in a little Chrysler, jumped out. Warren G was on the Ave drinking and smoking, drinking crazy horses and shit. Cause I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna come to his hood and check on him. Close quote. That's fair because Warren G's from Long Beach. And Biggie probably, I'm gonna guess, probably never went to Long Beach. I'm pretty sure if he did, he was probably in and out. So yeah, he wasn't gonna come check Warren G, and for Warren G to come check Biggie, I think Biggie felt like that was something that was really dope. So shout out to Warren G. As far as DJs, they asked him about the legend, DJ Premier. Ain't nobody perfect, dog. Everybody got their little faults and shit. But the only one I seen that's been hitting hard with their beats and their shit is Premier. Every joint that he be putting out right now is ridiculous. From that J. Rue shit to the new group he got, the group home, that shit be hard. That shit he did with me, that shit is hard. Yo, the beats is crazy. Close quote. Yeah, I mean, Premier is one of the greatest. I think top three beat maker of all time. Where you put him in the top three, it doesn't really matter to me, but he's definitely my top three. They asked him about the legend from H-Town, Scarface. He said, Scarface, 7, 8, he got some hard shit. Face on some hard shit, close quote. And I agree. Even to this day, Scarface is on some hard shit. They asked him about rapper Da Brat. He said, I like Da Brat. I like her shit. I give her a 6. She ain't the dopest female MC, but I like her single. I like how she coming. The dopest female that has a record deal out right now is Rage. Close quote. Wow. Okay. So Biggie's, you know, bigging up the West as opposed to the East. Okay. Fair. All right. Then they asked Biggie about his label mate, Craig Mack. And what's interesting was I did not find out until many years later, probably within the last 2 or 3 years, that Biggie didn't really care for Craig Mack, and Craig Mack didn't really care for Biggie. And I would assume that that probably had something to do with Puff. Could be wrong, but Puff is in the middle of it. I do know for a fact that Craig Mack's album came out and it was the first release on Bad Boy as far as, you know, those two were concerned. And then Biggie's album comes out and the marketing and promotion went from Craig Mack to Biggie. And it seemed like Puff forgot all about Craig Mack. And so if there was beef there, I guess I can understand why. But here's what Biggie said about Craig Mack. I really don't like him too much either, dog. I can't give him a 0 because he's got some hot shit, but like four or five, he on some different shit I can't really even relate to. I'm from the hood, he from the suburbs, so it's completely different shit. I don't really like his music too much. I don't like the beats. It's not the rhymes for me. It's just some pretty kid shit. Close quote. Yeah. So Biggie wasn't a fan. Wasn't a fan of Craig Mack at all. Now, Too Short. The legendary Too Short. Here's what Biggie had to say about Too Short. Too Short, 10. That's my dog right there. I love that nigga. That's my man. That caliber shit he got. Cocktail shit. I ain't got no shit like that yet. I don't know that shit was hot. I was with him in Atlanta and we were just kicking it and shit. That's my dog. I love that man. Close quote. So Biggie is damn near a homeboy with Too Short. The love is there, the respect is there. Obviously, they posthumously did a song with together as well. So on the Life After the Death album. So Biggie was a fan of Too Short. Next up, Naughty by Nature. He said, I like all of them. I got relationship with Tress. I got relationship, tongue tied. I got a relationship with Tretch. I got a relationship with Vinny. I got a relationship with K. But you know what I'm saying? The music itself that they want to make, that shit, that one hit, once they got that one hit, everything else don't count. That's why I can't dig that. I want a nigga that gonna like be like, yo, I heard that album and it's got like 9 joints. I like 3. Maybe that's the single, the remix. I don't want no album like that. So he's basically saying, while he's got relationships with them, the fact that they had those hits changed how he viewed their albums. And last but not least, they asked Biggie about E-40. And here's what Biggie had to say. Quote, no rating, 0. I don't fuck with Duke at all. Close quote. Now, if you're familiar with hip hop history, Biggie and E-40 had a run in with each other, to say the least. And as legend has it, Biggie was somewhere on the West Coast, in the Bay Area, which is where E-40 is from. And some words were exchanged, and Biggie and his friends, or the people he was with, were vastly outnumbered. Now, from what we were told, 40 made the call and they let him live. But it could have gone the other way. And I'm interested to know if Biggie felt this way before he got jammed up. Or after he got jammed up. After he got jammed up, he probably felt a little bit different towards 40 Water. I like E-40. Always have. I think E-40 is one of the most original cats that we've ever seen in hip-hop. His slang and his lingo will live forever. It's been so influential. Why Biggie didn't like E-40, who knows? But what's interesting about all of this is that, again, this is Biggie's opinion, right? And you're entitled to like who you like. I found it interesting that some of his peers, some of his label mates, like Craig Mack, he didn't like. You know, some of the people who would go on to be great in the game, he was, you know, fond of to some degree, like an Outkast or Snoop. And then his reverence for guys like Too Short or Dre or Primo. So Biggie, in that sense, at least to me, doesn't sound like a lot of people, a lot of young men his age, who were from New York City and had certain biases toward the South or the West. So it's interesting. I mean, I found these quotes to be very interesting and intriguing. And obviously, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, we don't know. I will assume that this is true. That, you know, 92 Bricks didn't make this up, because it seems very detailed. And honestly, most of what he said sounds like something Biggie would have said back then if you knew who Biggie was when, you know, in 1995. And again, keep in mind, Biggie is probably, if not the biggest star in hip hop, one of the biggest stars in hip hop. So for him to have knowledge of these artists and have heard their music without the internet, because again, folks, there was no internet. I think that speaks volumes. What's interesting is, you know, the fact that one, he's no longer here, and you wonder if he were here, how would he still feel about the music going forward, or these particular artists and their music going forward? Obviously, we'll never know, but this was Biggie versus everybody. I think Biggie, you know, while he's entitled to his opinion, some of his opinions are comical. Some of his opinions are, you know, kind of weird, but they're his opinions. And you know the old saying, opinions are like assholes. Everybody got one. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. Thanks again for checking out this edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. We drop new episodes every Monday and every Friday. Also, don't forget about the flagship station, the 12 Kyle Podcast. We drop new episodes there every Tuesday and every Sunday. You can catch the 12 Kyle Podcast wherever you're listening or watching on YouTube. If you're interested in merch, you can actually contribute to our podcast financially by purchasing merch. Just go to the 12 Kyle Podcast page, click the merch button. You can buy 12 Kyle Podcast t-shirts, hoodies, as well as coffee mugs. We got it for the low. Or you can hit us up on Cash App, $TWELVEKYLE. We're on social media all across the board, 12 Kyle, 12 Kyle Podcast, Rap Soul Podcast. Wherever you're on social media, that's where we are as well. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. This has been another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I'll catch y'all guys next time. 5,000. Cheer.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.